arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want you to notice that Saul was told to do something here to get his sins washed away, even though at least 3 days earlier he had believed in Jesus. Let's prove that from Acts 9. Here's how Acts 9, 3 through 6 reads. Talking about Saul, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Saul at this point believed in Jesus. He asked who it was, and Jesus replied, I am Jesus. Saul then responded, What wilt thou have me to do? Obviously, Saul believed Jesus was who he said he was. Now, most denominations would say Saul was saved at this point because he believed in Jesus in Acts 9, 5 through 6. But was he saved? We're going to answer that question. But if you have a Bible question or comment in the meantime, call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. So Saul believed on the road to Damascus, according to Acts chapter 9. Was he saved at that point? Most denominations would say he was, since he believed. But evidently, faith alone is not enough, because Paul was a believer at this point, but he was still in his sins at least 3 days later. Remember Acts 22:16? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So Saul was a believer in Christ, but still needed to do something to get his sins washed away. So evidently his sins were not washed away when he first believed in Christ. Most churches say belief is enough, and therefore Saul was saved on the road to Damascus, according to them. But Acts 22:16 conclusively proves otherwise. Not only that, but Acts 22:16 proves a person has to be baptized to be saved. Remember, Saul was told, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So his sins were not washed away when he believed. They were washed away when he was baptized. A person is not saved from his sins until they're baptized, according to Acts 22:16. Victor from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Can you define 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21? The Lord tells us that clearly that water baptism does not save you.
Does not, or does now save us?
Does not. It's just a reflection of what the Lord has already done in the heart. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, there's
let's look at 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 before you move on, if you don't mind. Okay, Victor? I'm going to read that. It says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereinto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Victor, it looks like that verse is saying the exact opposite of what you said, that it says that baptism saves us. You
right,
see that in 1 Peter 3:21?
He says, it's a book that says, not the removal of filth of flesh, meaning water, not water baptism. He's talking about the conscience, meaning you are going to give a testimony because you now possess the Holy Spirit.
No, but he is talking about water baptism because he brings it. That's the very reason he brings up Noah. Noah and the eight souls were saved by water. And the King James Version says that the antitype, namely baptism, doth also now save us. So the thing that those two things have in common, both of them have in common water, both of them have in common a salvation. With Noah, it was a physical salvation. With water baptism, it's a spiritual salvation. It says not the putting away the filth of the flesh. In other words, this water baptism, the purpose of water baptism is not to wash dirt off the skin. Instead, what the verse is saying, it's a spiritual salvation. And it clearly says baptism saves us.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Nick. It does. But see, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, there's three different baptisms that are defined there. It says John the Baptist will baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who's coming after him, that's Lord Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, that's not water baptism.
No, but so the first one is. He says, Matthew 3:11 starts out with water baptism, right? You said three baptisms. Water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and
salvation.
Fire baptism.
It's not a salvation baptism. That's
well, no, wait a minute. Victor, all we established from Matthew 3:11 is that there were three baptisms. Water,
correct.
Holy Spirit, and fire, right?
But the baptism, John clearly says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, because they're coming off the sacrificial system where they had to sacrifice animals to get rid of their sins for 1 year only. And and now there's not going to be that sacrificial system anymore, so he's baptizing them.
Right, but Matthew 3:11 does not say that water baptism not for salvation. Matter of fact, another place says that John's baptism was for the remission of sins. John's baptism.
Know that. No.
Huh?
No, here, clearly, but what the Lord does is when he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, when you're reading Acts 2, when you're reading that, you keep quoting it, Acts 2:38, they're not talking about water baptism, they're talking about the Holy Spirit. So when you...
Okay, but let's go, Victor, let's go back to 1 Peter 3:21. This is talking about water baptism. It says in verse 20, the eight souls were saved by water. The light figure we're into. No, I didn't say it was. Let me finish, Victor. It says Noah and eight souls were saved by water, and then it says the light figure we're into baptism doth also now save us. So the baptism, verse 21, has to be water baptism. That's how, that's the very way the Noah and the flood, them being saved through water, is a type of this baptism. They have the thing in common they have in common is water baptism. So this has to...
What you're doing is you're confusing water baptism for the Holy Spirit. Like in John, when the Lord goes to the well and the woman, he says, I'll give you living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
But Victor, in 1 Peter, Victor, in 1 Peter 3:21, this is water baptism. I'm not confusing it. It says it's talking about water baptism.
Not by the removal of filth. He's talking about you're not going to get saved when water falls on you.
No, wait a minute. When it says not, Victor, when it says not the removal of filth from the flesh, that's
correct.
Talking about dirt. That's talking about
correct.
Dirt.
And that's what water does. Water, see, for them, they didn't have water like we have water now. So a little bit of water on you was going to remove dirt.
No, now, think of it, Victor. Think of it this way. If you'd never seen water baptism before, you never heard about it, never seen it, and you saw somebody get water baptized, you would think the point of it is to wash dirt off the skin. So that's what Peter's saying. Look, this does not, the point of water baptism, Peter's saying, is not to wash dirt off the skin. The very fact that it could be confused with that proves this is talking about water baptism. People think, oh, they're washing the dirt off the skin. And Peter's saying, no, they're being dunked in water, but the point of it is not to wash the dirt off the skin. The point of it is a spiritual salvation. And so clearly, 1 Peter 3:21, this is what the text says. Victor's telling us all about what he thinks. But the verse is talking about water baptism. Verse 20 says, eight souls were saved by water. Then it says, the antitype, namely baptism, doth also now save us. The way how one is a type of the other, part of it is because both of them involve water. That's how one is a type of the other. That's how Noah and the eight souls being saved through water is a type of this baptism, because both involve water. That's clear. And then the verse says that baptism saves us. So this verse, where it's 100% conclusive that this verse is talking about water baptism. It's right there. The last word of verse 20 is water. So the baptism, verse 21, is water baptism, and it says that it saves us. It's not in the sense that baptism earns our salvation. That's the death of Christ. Baptism saves us in the sense that it's a condition we have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Christ. And so it is crystal clear, verse Peter 3:21 proves conclusively that baptism saves us, water baptism. And we see this confirmed in passages like Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That also is water baptism. We know that because it's the baptism of the Great Commission. It's commanded that people, the apostles and disciples, baptize other people, and the only baptism they could perform is water baptism, not Holy Spirit baptism. So the baptism of the Great Commission, water baptism, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's water baptism again, and the Bible clearly says it's for the remission of sins. So a person has to be baptized for the remission of sins. That not only proves that a person has to be baptized in water to be saved from his sins, it proves that if a person gets baptized for another reason, let's say they thought they were saved, then they got baptized, that would mean they didn't get baptized for the remission of sins, so they weren't baptized scripturally, they didn't get the remission of sins. Anton from Louisiana, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Patrick.
Is it you're, are you in Louisiana or are you in Canada right now, Anton?
I'm in Louisiana.
What you doing down south?
I'm trucking.
Oh, I didn't remember that you were a trucker. I guess I had forgotten that.
I'm just a crazy trucker, yeah.
In the air, buddy. Go ahead.
I don't know where to start with you, Patrick. You just have this idea that baptism will save you. And
what did First Peter 3:21 say about baptism? What did
not,
it say?
Patrick, I wanna if I could just go a little bit different route here with you.
Okay, but before you do, let me repeat
with Cornelius, right?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
You believe that the Holy Spirit is one of the Godheads, right? It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes, correct.
They're all God. Okay, fantastic. So when Peter came to Cornelius and preached to the house of Cornelius, you remember that it says that when Peter saw that the Holy Spirit had come on them as well as the Jews, that you know that they were saved, like that the Holy Spirit had come on them.
Yes, that's true.
Like, so when God comes into a person, is that person like is that person in like in God and God in that person, or is there something missing that I don't understand?
No. Cornelius would be. Do you remember the story? You remember King Saul, Anton, in 1 Samuel 19 when he was plotting to kill David, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he prophesied.
That's
he was,
different. That's Old Testament. This is New Testament.
Yeah, it's the same. What I'm saying is this is the answer to your question. Just because the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody and performs a miracle, that doesn't prove they're saved. If that proves they're saved, that would prove Balaam's donkey was saved, because the Holy Spirit calls him to perform a miracle, Balaam's donkey, to speak. Do you remember that, Anton? He did the same way with...
That's not comparing apples to apples. That's right.
It is. You're right. It is comparing apples to apples.
No,
so Saul... Wait a minute, Anton. King Saul, the Holy Spirit fell on him, enabled him to prophesy. The Holy Spirit enabled Balaam's donkey to speak. Caiaphas in John chapter, go ahead.
Okay.
Caiaphas in John 11:51 prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation. He prophesied, but you wouldn't think Caiaphas was in a saved relationship with God at that time. He had plans to kill Jesus.
Patrick, if I could just remember, in the Old Testament, I know what you think about the Old Testament. It was different. The Holy Spirit wasn't poured out in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was poured out in the New Testament, and whenever the Holy Spirit come into a person's life, that when that person has the Holy Spirit, that person is saved. Okay.
Okay. So, all right. You're making Anton.
I've said this before, but just let me
Anton,
finish
hold on. Let me respond to that. You made a couple of Anton. You made a couple of assertions without any proof. You said the Old Testament was different in this respect. You gave no evidence. You said, in effect, you were talking about Cornelius, that just because the Holy Spirit fell on him and he spoke in tongues, that proves he's saved. But you didn't prove that. All you did was assert that with no evidence. But we know what we do have proof, Anton, is that Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so we know Cornelius, If he wanted to get the remission of sins, he had to be baptized, according to Acts chapter 2. He wasn't saved when the Holy Spirit enabled him to speak in tongues.
Oh, really?
The Bible never, says that.
When the Holy Spirit comes into that person is not saved, no?
I already showed you proof of that. Caiaphas, wait a minute. Let me finish. You asked me a question. Let me answer.
Yeah,
Noah,
okay.
Anton,
go ahead.
I'm going to answer the question. The Holy Spirit came upon Balaam's donkey, King Saul, and Caiaphas in John chapter 11, and you don't think any one of those three were saved. So, yes, I agree with you that just because the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, that doesn't prove they're saved. That's what you think about King Saul in 1 Samuel 19, Balaam's donkey, and Caiaphas in John chapter 11. So all you're doing is asserting something about Cornelius that you don't believe in the other cases, Anton. You don't believe that in the other cases that I've given you. Why do you believe it about Cornelius?
I'll just tell you this one. Like I said this to you before, but you cannot sing the song, What Can Wash Away My Sin, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, because what you're teaching is that the baptism washes away your sin. And that's not like it's not washing away my sin. My sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus.
Okay, Anton, that would be me accusing you of not believing the blood of Christ washes away our sins, but you believe that faith does. That's absurd. Those are not mutually exclusive.
I just told you the blood of Christ washes away nothing.
But what if I were to accuse you of saying, don't you believe a person has to believe in Christ to be saved, Anton? Don't you believe a person has to? Okay, so what? What if I were to accuse you, Anton, of saying, Anton, you don't believe the blood of Christ washes away sin. You believe a person's faith washes it away. You see, that would be making the same unsound.
You have to have faith before you become a Christian, right?
Right.
You have to at some point accept Jesus, and then he can wash away your sin.
Yeah, so you must be misunderstanding my argument, Anton. So here's the answer to your thing. Maybe you could. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. It's the thing that does it, but when does it do it? Well, Acts 22:16 tells us exactly when the blood of Christ washes away our sins. Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, what washed away Saul's sins, Anton? Tell me what washed it away.
According to you, it's water, but...
No, Anton, I'm asking you, I don't believe it's water. I'm asking you, what washes away Saul's sins?
Only the blood of Jesus could do that.
I agree with you. The blood of Christ washed away Saul's sins. Now, when did it do it? When he believed on the road to Damascus, when he was baptized in Acts 22:16?
When he believed.
Now, Ananias is telling Saul 3 days after he believed to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins.
That's when he celebrated his conversion. You know, like that's
Wait a minute, Anton, you said his sins were washed away 3 days before, but Ananias is telling him to do something at this point to get his sins washed away. If his sins were washed away 3 days before, how could he be told to do something to get his sins washed away
He was saved when he accepted Jesus, you know, like
then
he
why
was
does,
saved on the road
then why
to
the does, Then why does Acts 22:16, 3 days later, he's told to do something to get his sins washed away? Why was he told to do something to get his sins washed away if they were washed away 3 days before that, Anton?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have all the answers, you know.
Okay, Anton, here's the answer that answers everything. You have to believe and you have to be baptized to be saved. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Wait a minute. Anton, please let me finish. Okay.
The second part doesn't say baptism. If you know, you only quote half, you know, says, he who believes is in his baptism.
Okay. And so we'll get back to Anton in a minute. And so Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Anton is right that the blood of Christ washes away our sins. The question is when? At the point of faith? That's what Anton says. But Saul believed in Christ. He had faith on the road to Damascus. But 3 days later, he's told to get baptized to get his sins washed away. So what we learn from this is that you have to believe and be baptized to get your sins washed away. And the blood of Christ washes away your sins when you're baptized. It's the blood of Christ that does it. But the when is when you're baptized. Acts 22:16. Are you there, Anton? Okay, well, I should have picked him back up, but he's hung up now. You know, John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, what is that talking about, being born of water and of the Spirit? The only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water is water baptism. And this says, except you be born of water, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't be saved. How about Galatians 3:26-27? "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So the Bible asserts that we're children of God by faith in this passage. And then it says, tells us how we become a child of God by faith. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So the way we become a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ, according to Galatians 3:26-27. The Bible is perfectly clear on this matter. Acts 22:16 shows that the way that we call upon the name of the Lord, the way we call upon God to wash away our sins, is by being baptized. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now Romans 10:13 makes it clear that we have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So calling on the name of the Lord is clearly necessary to salvation. How do you do that? Acts 22:16 says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The way you call upon the name of the Lord to save you from your sins is by being baptized. Yes, Bill, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Paul says in Ephesians, I think, "We are saved. You are saved by faith through grace, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Baptism isn't mentioned. He tells you how you're saved. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, Bill is right that baptism is not mentioned in Ephesians 2:8-9. But does that prove you don't have to be baptized to be saved? Well, you know what else is not mentioned in Ephesians 2:8-9? Repentance. So if that verse, because baptism is not mentioned, proves you don't have to be baptized, then it would also prove you don't have to repent in order to be saved, because repentance is not mentioned. There's not a single passage in the book of God that tells us everything in one verse what a person has to do to be saved. Mark 16:16 shows you got to believe and you got to be baptized to be saved. It doesn't mention repentance. Acts 2:38 says you got to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It doesn't mention belief. Does that mean you don't have to believe to be saved because Acts 2:38 doesn't mention it? Acts 22:16, Ananias was told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. It didn't mention belief or repentance. Does that mean all you got to do is be baptized to be saved? No. 1 Peter 3:21, talking about water baptism, says baptism doth also now save us. It doesn't mention belief or repentance. Does that mean you don't have to believe or repent to be saved? No. The sum of God's word is truth. Matthew 4:4. So we're going to have to take all of the passages that tell us what a person has to do to be saved and put them all together. And when you do that, you find out that a person has to believe, John 3:16. He has to repent, Luke 13:3. And he's got to be baptized, Acts 2:38, to be saved. You got to believe, you got to repent, you got to be baptized to be saved. And when you do that, you're saved by grace through faith. You're saved by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ washes away your sins when you're baptized. That's right there in Acts 22:16. No denying. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com.